Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Cornell.
And our guest today?
I'm Cody Rosentreter of North Basin Brewing here in Soyuz, BC.
Perfect. Well, hopefully the smoke is dissipating a little bit these days.
Honestly, we've probably our best week of the summer this last week, which has been nice. It's been like 30 degrees and clear skies, so been hitting the beaches and stuff. Been much better than it has been for most of August.
Great. Nice.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So when did you guys open up?
Last November.
Okay.
Whoa, wow. Yeah.
And was that like a long process? Like, had it always been a dream to get yourself going in a Soyuz?
So the owner, Wes, was working trades for quite a while, and then was always kind of just throwing around the idea of opening up a brewery because he's a big beer drinker, and then came to a point where I realized he may like beer, but he tried his hand at home brewing a couple times, and maybe the brewing aspect wasn't quite for him, so that's when he found me at Olds College and flew me out and wined and dined me, and then took the job in March 2020, which I don't know if anything else happened in March 2020.
Boring year, right?
Yeah. What great timing.
So you were at Olds. Is that one of the European groups?
No. That's in Canada, eh? That's where Armitage went to school.
Oh, okay. My bad.
It's like the opposite of a European brewing school. Yeah. Alberta Agricultural College.
So. Oh. Wait, Alberta, that's not the acronym, Olds? Or is it
Olds
actually
College.
Like,
Olds. Olds is the town.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't even know that. Well, before we keep getting into it, why don't we crack this first beer and talk a bit about that?
Yeah, go for it.
So what are we drinking here? Your rice lager.
Yeah, I think that one's AJ, not AJ. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. 4.5. And we've had it for a little bit in the can. I got no nails. You can open this.
I love these crowlers. They feel so awesome in my hand. Like It's like a proper size can.
Yeah, you feel like a baby drinking.
I love it.
It's a Coke or something.
Yeah, like those little 12-ounce baby cans. You're like, well, what's this thing?
Yeah, these are almost a liter, aren't they?
Oh. Yeah, I think just under.
I'm making a mess.
It's all good. Cement floors, man.
Right? You can mop up after.
They drink it up.
Yeah, just bring Penny out here.
No. Beer kills dogs, I think.
No, it doesn't, dogs trust me. I've met a couple that are alcoholics.
Oh, really?
I think if they drink or eat straight hops, it's not very good for them.
Yeah.
A little bit of beer is fine.
Yeah, the carbonation apparently messes with their stomachs.
Well,
I'm almost getting a little citrusy thing in the aroma.
Yeah, it's probably from the Nelson Sylvan.
Ooh.
I would guess is the only hop I used. Not other than a bittering hop, but those don't count.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got a nice, it's a mild aroma, but it's definitely a nice aroma. The little bit citrusy thing going on, a little bit grainy.
Yeah, I didn't dry hop it or anything like that, so all the hop comes from the whirlpool, and then just tried to keep it as clean and clear and refreshing as possible. That was kind of our summer release, or one of the many, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So is it like, what's the story behind this beer? Is it supposed to be like, I don't know if everybody who listens to the podcast has been to a Soyuz, but a Soyuz is clear, like, it's the only, or near the only desert in Canada. It's got awesome beaches. Like, is this a beach beer?
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea behind the crowlers as well. Just keep them beach and boat friendly. That's why we don't fill growlers or anything, but yeah, this summer I definitely shifted more towards doing light beers and kind of listened to the people, and the people this year wanted lagers, but I didn't want to just give them a straight lager. I wanted to mess with them a little bit, so I did a rice lager and a corn lager because I know they've had them before.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't like to admit it, or they don't know that they have.
They don't know.
Yeah. Don't know.
A couple of those out of them.
Yeah. So FYI, Budweiser's got rice and Canadian's got corn.
Yeah.
Budweiser's all rice, right?
Yeah. No, it's got some grain.
It's got some grain? Okay.
Majority, probably.
Wasn't there a big thing like a couple years ago where Budweiser was trying to like talk down on Miller for using corn even though they use rice?
Adjuncts and adjunct.
Yeah.
Cheap is cheap.
But yeah, no, it's got a nice mild flavor too. It's a little bit grainy. There's a little bit of something going on in the flavor, probably from the hops. A little bit of...
Yeah, it's got a little bitterness.
I like it because it finishes a little bit... it finishes nice and dry. It's not sweet, right? So kind of leaves you wanting another sip.
Yeah. It's like quenching too, right? Like
I want another sip after too.
I can imagine like sitting on a boat and just being like, you know, sweltering sun and this just hitting the spot.
Ice cold out of the cooler. This would go down a little too easily, maybe.
I'd just like to point out too that we've been trying to get this podcast going for a bit, so these have been sitting in the fridge for a while and they've actually held really well.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad I haven't had a live tasting of Crowlers before, so I've been going off their integrity on a hope and a prayer. So the positive feedback is very welcome.
Yeah. I kept them cool the whole time after my friend Robin picked them up there. She came to visit the Osoyoos and it just happened, everything aligned that she could grab them. So we'll give shout out to the beer bitch Robin Blossom.
Thanks, Robin. Cheers.
Thanks, Robin.
Yeah, thanks for bringing those.
She made sure I had to shout her out, so
Hey. That's just smart on her part, I guess.
Hey, at least she brought them without consuming them along the way.
Yeah. I think she had enough. She did North Base employees.
Six? I sent six with her.
We got three.
Too funny.
Mm. No, but why don't we get back to the brewery?
Yeah, whereabouts whereabouts in the Soyuz exactly are you located? If I'm coming, like, say, from Vancouver direction, and I'm coming down the hill into a Soyuz, rolling up to that Husky station, where do I look for you?
So you'd keep going on Highway 3, which is the highway you would take from Vancouver, if you're going to continue east. And then we're just kind of on the beach attached to the Watermark Hotel, which is kind of one of the big resorts right on the main drag here. So we got two little business spaces in here, and there are two different businesses before, and then we made them one, the brewery on one side and the tap room on the other.
Nice.
Perfect.
See, I don't know. I'm in my office / storage room right now, which is kind of the between the two.
Yeah.
Nice.
As long as it's not also in the cooler, it's okay, right?
No.
Now no,
it's not in the cooler. Sometimes if it's, I mean, it's a Soyuz, so
yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to do work in the cooler, but not all the time.
Now, I remember a brewery in a Soyuz. For years, I used to stop I think it was called Ridge or something like that. Ridge Brewing?
Yeah.
Are they no longer there?
There's nothing there now.
Yeah.
It's been gone for, I don't know, I'm newish to town, but I think it's been gone for over like 10 years at this point.
Oh, God.
Showing your age again, Warren.
I was going to say, like,
I didn't mean to call you out like
that. Yeah. So you're very old, Warren. And
I've been a part of the craft beer community for 20 years or more.
So is there, like, I guess you came onto this project, it sounds like a little bit later into the process. Did you know a whole lot about Soyuz when you were coming to town or when you accepted the job? And
Not too much. I knew a little bit about the Okanagan. I'd come here for trips and things like that, and camping, and from Alberta. I mean, now that I see that everybody from Alberta comes to the Okanagan, so I definitely wasn't unique in that. But I knew the area, and I hated winter, so I just kind of started poking around for jobs that would take me out of the cold. And then this one popped up, so I started talking to Wes, the owner, and then things started rolling from there. I came on pretty early in the process. He didn't really have any plans drawn up. I think the week after he officially hired me was the week that he got the keys for the building.
Oh, wow.
So I used to. Yeah, it was.
So you got to be there for the whole build-out.
Sorry?
You've been there for the whole build-out and everything then.
Yeah, so I was here for figuring out the equipment and layout and everything, and then every beer that's been made has been my beer and my recipe, so that's been nice.
That's awesome. With you guys being so close to like the hotel and everything, do you find even with COVID, it's you guys are quite busy still with tourists coming through?
Yeah, we did okay. I think we're so close to the beach. About midway through the summer, we kind of shook our heads a little bit and put a beach sign down there, and I think that really picked up traffic. Funny enough, just a little sandwich board.
Nice,
but. Yeah, I mean, the hotel, it's the same with everything in BC and all over the world, right? Everything kind of slowed down, and every time there was a new health order, we kind of saw a pretty big dip in sales, but then it would kind of go back to normal again and things like that. But we had not a bad summer. It's hard to judge because it was our first summer, so
fair
we
enough.
Don't really know what a yeah. real summer will look like, but we did we did all right. We went through a lot of beer, I think. I don't know. I should have. Numbers are here. I don't know if that's what you guys are into, but
oh no, man, we're just interested in how well you're doing. Yeah, that's awesome.
It yeah, with fires and COVID and stuff, it just kind of seems like one thing after another. But we're still pushing product out, and the crowlers have been huge because we see a lot. Even like Monday morning, sometimes they're busy because people are heading out of town and grab a few crowlers for the road or whatever. Not that they're drinking and driving.
Just so they take them home
back to wherever they're from.
Yeah, that's how we got ours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yep. Nice. Are you distributing it at all? Do you have any package products in stores in the Soyuz or anything, or is it just strictly at the brewery?
Yeah, not packaged. We kick some kegs around every now and then. The golf course has got a couple. And
yeah.
Or else did we send some? I don't know. Just like private sales and stuff like that. If people are having a beach party, we got a couple party taps that we rent out and things like that.
So. Perfect.
So but yeah, it's been just all through the front door so far.
That's great.
I guess yeah, it helps. How big is the brewery, the brew house?
I get about 5 hectares out of it.
Oh, okay, that's pretty small. Wow.
Yeah.
What's front?
Yeah, I don't know how much distribution we could do, even if we wanted to.
Right,
brewing about twice a week,
so it's guaranteed right to be fresh.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking when I open the walk-in and see the keg stash has gotten very low. The 30 keg pile has gotten very high, and it's just a long week of brewing ahead.
Yeah.
How many fermenters do you have?
Got 4 fermenters and 2 breaks.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool. Is there room for expansion, or is that?
Who are you kicking out next? In other words,
not in this space. No.
Oh wow. So yeah. Again, I think a heck is like 100 liters.
Yeah.
A keg is about 50 liters.
55.
So yeah. 55. So you're talking, I mean, less than 10 kegs out of a batch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. If you were to compare that to, a lot, I mean, it's a small brewery.
It is.
But it's, again, that concept that you see all over the place as well. If you can push it right out your front door, it can work really well. And I know, I think I'm the only one that's been able to visit you guys so far.
Yeah, yeah.
But you guys have that great patio space as well. That sort of wraps around the corner, and it's hard to miss when you're coming down the road or walking down the street, right?
Yeah, so that's been huge for us, especially... midwinter when the health order came down, no more indoor dining, just outdoor dining with social distancing. So we're lucky enough that we have that huge patio. We didn't lose a whole lot of capacity. And Soyuz snowbirds are here for a reason, right? They like the they like the warm weather, and some of them are very determined to sit outside no matter what. So people brought their blankets, and we had some space heaters for them and things like that. So even then, we could keep pretty busy.
So what is front of house capacity?
I think we're allowed 100 total.
Oh, that's pretty freaking good.
50 in is what they tell us.
Nice. And and is that right now during COVID still too, with like spacing and everything?
Yeah, we have enough space on the patio that we can have
perfect
six feet of social distancing between each table.
That's perfect. Awesome. That works out well.
We have to shut down our bar for a bit. We've got some bar seating too, and we just kind of.
Yeah, that's normal at a lot of places now because you're just too close to the staff or whatever, and that totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. You have to wear a mask, right? And if you're sitting at a bar, not wearing a mask, that kind of defeats the purpose. So we just shut that down to avoid any of that.
Nice. Well, why don't we get into the second one here? because I know most of our glasses are done here. I don't know if we got the Black IPA, the Vineyard Monster Black IPA coming at 6%. I don't know if you know the IBUs on it, but
I could probably tell you if you want me to. But
yeah,
it doesn't come in super hoppy. I think the bitterness is definitely there, but that's I think also to do with the dark malts. Mm, as probably. Well as the heavy hopping.
Gotta love the heavy hopping.
Oh,
look at the color on that.
So I'm just gonna tell you guys, this was my favorite one when I was there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I just poured a foamy one because I was not looking, and even the foamy head I just tasted good.
Yeah, it's got a real nice thick creamy head on this thing. It's like an off white, like a tan.
Perfect. I knew I was cool.
Super dark. Yeah. Super not dark.
One day, but not today.
By appearance, I would almost think this is a stout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very little light gets through it.
So dark.
Wow. Well, it smells nice. Ooh.
It tastes good too. Just leaving the foam. So
I can tell by the aroma, this isn't going to be a sweet beer. It smells good.
It should not be, unless something is going wrong in the growler.
No, it hasn't, because I've already had a sip, and it's nice. It's roasty malt.
Oh, wow. Oh, my Lord, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, the roasty is just the right level.
Yep.
And it mixes perfectly with the bitterness. Everything's nicely aligned and like balanced. Oh, wow.
There's a nice balance, though, between that little bit of like sweet fruitiness and that bitterness and roasted, like it all blends really well together. That's really nice.
Yeah, it's well rounded,
but it's also nice and clean, and it finishes nice and sharp. And
I need more already.
Damn, that's good.
Wow, you guys are making me blush.
That is so well balanced. It's creamy and sweet, but yet it's dry and it's a little bit roasty, and the bitterness is there. But it's like everything's so perfectly balanced. It's insane.
If you get Warren going like that, that's you did well.
Never stop.
He doesn't go on poetic about beers all the time.
Yeah,
so.
That's really, really, really good.
It's almost
like it
feels like a little bit like of a new take, like the CDA or the Black IPA was something that was super popular, especially in Vancouver about 5-10 years ago. And it's something that's dropped off. But
I missed them.
But those ones were...
There's a couple of them around.
They were like bitter first, and then you used to get that sort of dark fruitiness. And this one is much more robust. It seems like a modern version. Like we've seen sort of like West Coast IPAs grow up, and even...
I would almost say this is a refined version of a Black IPA.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so balanced.
Yeah, and there's more... The body is there where, the CDAs and then the Black IPAs back in the day... they were so often like the body was just a complete afterthought,
and they were way bitter, the hop bombs and all that. Mm-hmm. This is great. I love this.
Yeah, I could crush this.
Man, oh
man. I like it.
Yeah, going into the fall, I mean, this would go perfect with just about any kind of food that you're having in the fall.
I tried to strategically brew it a little bit because I know in the summer some dark things move a little bit slower, but I think it's actually moved pretty fast. So missed on that one, but that's okay. I'll brew something else.
So you're
I'll brew more.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're telling us you're upset your beer sold too fast?
Well, I really like to have a full menu. I don't know why. I know I don't need to because we have like 10 taps full of beer, but it's just something I like to do. So every now and then I'll try and sneak one that I think is going to move a little bit slower in there. But it doesn't work.
Stop doing such a good job then, I guess.
You just like make a really bad name, like really terrible ale. Don't drink it. IPA.
Shitty IPA.
Please keep my tap list full. Pale ale.
I'll just call something like tapped out.
Yeah.
Nobody will order it because I think it's tapped out.
No longer available longer. Yeah.
Don't even say the style of beer it is. It's just tapped out.
Yeah.
You guys are giving me ideas that I don't think the other two up front are going to like.
Hey, you can run it by them.
It's beer nerds telling you that it's a good idea. Yeah. So it probably is a good idea.
Or it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, there's not a lot of gray area usually in that.
No. That's for sure.
Well, you told us that you went to Olds College for brewing school. Do you have a history of homebrewing before that?
I did a little bit. Honestly, I just liked what I saw from the industry from the outside. So I did, I don't know, like most brewers, I'm also a beer fan. So before I got into brewing, I was always in breweries and visiting breweries. And I was lucky enough to have a friend who worked for a major airline. So I got sweet flight deals. So I'd always fly out to Vancouver, Toronto, and see the beer scenes there and stuff. And it was always just such a nice, welcoming and friendly community. And I was in a job that I wasn't super in love with, so I decided, why not?
I need your friend.
Yeah.
He unfortunately doesn't work, which has been a tough adjustment for me. This has been a big wedding year for me, and I've paid full price for flights back home, and that's been rough.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's super cool. So you were able to go out and sort of see the scene. I think a lot of us, or a lot of people who enjoy beer, are often sort of hedged into their own scene. Is there any like breweries that you really look to or as an inspiration or something that you, other breweries that you just appreciate?
Every town and city has like their great breweries, right? And some places, I think some places are different for different people, like with different memories and stuff. For me, I know in Vancouver, and it's probably not a popular opinion with all the macro hate, but like Granville Island Brewery on Granville Island used to be like one of my favorite places to hit up. I'd like walk over and take the ferry and go to the market and grab some food and then hit up a brewery and have a couple of their beers and just kind of wander around and enjoy fish and chips. There's, I don't know, what's that fish and chips across the bay called? I can't even remember.
Oh,
now.
God, I don't remember.
They've got like, sorry?
I don't remember. I don't head to Granville Island that often because it's just so busy.
And they have too many tourists. But, you know, it's funny. The brewery on Granville Island, the Granville Island Brewery,
is great.
The beer they make there is typically the stuff they release in bombers and that, the limited edition stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Yeah, it's not the stuff that's made off-site up in the Okanagan, right?
I've got some stuff in my cellar from last time I visited there, like barley wine and I forget what else. Yeah. I've got like two or three bottles, and they're all vintagely aged and stuff. I don't mind him at all, to be honest.
And Kevin Ems, who has been the head brewer there for quite a while now, is a great brewer. So, yeah, no?
And he made the music for our song.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Our intro music before is Kevin Ems, head brewer.
And before him, it was Vern. Vern was there for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think at least amongst many of my colleagues that I talked to, I think the thinking on that has kind of shifted a little bit because lots of the times when those big guys started buying up breweries, there were points where they would just kind of take them over and watered down or whatever, but then there are also great success stories. Like Goose Island is still making great beer down in the States, and I don't know who they're owned by, but
Well, and even Stanley Park Brewing too. They're hitting it out of the park with some of their IPAs and
that's really interesting stuff.
Stellar. What was it? Stellar Stout we had was actually just won gold medal.
So that was good stuff
from their brew pub in Stanley Park now. It doesn't have to be a horrible thing for a brand of beer.
It has been for some.
Yeah,
it's been killer
for
some.
It can be really helpful, right? Because if you go in as a good brewer and then all of a sudden you're also a good brewer but with a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And distribution.
A lot more good stuff.
Yeah, you get to play.
Yeah.
Anything, you're saying you're from Alberta, anything from back home that...
I grew up on Alley Cat.
Oh, nice. But,
yeah. I like Alley
Cat. The Alley Cat's
Double
bad.
Dragon series or whatever it's called, IPAs.
Yeah, they came out with a lot of good beers back in the day, and they were kind of first on the scene. And then from there, like the Tool Sheds and Big Rocks were also a big part of growing, because it wasn't until probably like 5 years ago that the Alberta brewery scene exploded. So those are kind of the ones that I remember most fondly from my time there. And then going to school in Central Alberta, like Blind Man is doing incredible things all the time. And
heck yeah.
Troubled Monk could not say enough good things about Troubled Monk. So yeah, there's just lots of great beer in Central Alberta in general. It's hard to pick.
I kind of miss, I used to travel a lot in Canada for work. And I did a lot of jobs up in the Edmonton area, and I was always hitting up the liquor store. What's that one called again? The really good one.
Sherbrooke?
Yeah, Sherbrooke. Just muling all kinds of good beer home, hitting up like all the different breweries in Edmonton. It was great.
Picking up all those President's Choices, special releases.
God, no.
The no-name beer.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You get that stuff.
But yeah, no, I've been really impressed with the scene over in Alberta in the last couple of years, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's grown up quite a bit, and it's kind of turned into its own thing, and it's a very tight community over there, and everybody's really nice and friendly and making great beer. It's hard to go wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Roy LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
No doubt. Well, let's bring it back to Soyuz. So you guys actually, I saw something online that was pretty cool you guys actually had happen. I guess somebody from the Tampa Bay Lightning lives in town, a trainer or something, and you guys had the Stanley Cup come for a little visit. Did you get to drink beer out of it?
You gotta win.
You have to, I guess, be a player or something to be allowed to touch it. So Grant Armstrong was the guy. He's a scout for Tampa, and he
okay scout
sometimes. So he brought it in, but it was I was pushing pretty hard up until the morning because I was brewing that day. I was like, I want somebody to dump hops into this beer with the Stanley Cup. Oh. I was pushing for it, but. Yes. We just didn't have time. We had like a lineup of hundreds of people all trying to get pictures.
Well, everybody.
If you're not a player or a head coach or whatever, you only get, I think, half a day. So he kind of had it there for a couple hours and then took it up to the fire hall and then up to his house for a quick party. But
did they have the dude with the white gloves? Was he there accompanying it? The guy that cleans it all the time? No? Oh, that would have been epic.
Which is too bad because I've had my picture with the cup before, but I wanted my picture with him. But
yeah, no doubt.
He wasn't around.
That's funny. He was waiting back at the house for the party probably. Did you get to try that giant-ass ring on?
I didn't try it on because I was scared, but I looked at it.
Oh, dude, that thing had so many diamonds.
It's too many diamonds for me. It was a little intimidating.
Yeah, it's a house payment right there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though, that you guys got to have that opportunity, and I'm pretty sure the town would have been pretty pumped to see all that, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good grab, draw.
It was a pretty neat experience to have it in, and it was cool to see, and it was good for the brewery, too, people who may not have come down because they have kids or whatever come through and be like, oh, yeah, you can bring your kids. Doesn't matter. So
Yeah,
it was nice to have, and it's a Stanley Cup, no matter how many times you see it. Or
that's all the Canadian teams are winning it right now, so it's nice somebody lives in town that could bring it.
Yeah, no, it was a nice little treat for us, for sure.
Cool, man. So anything else you can tell us about the brewery or any new upcoming projects, new beers?
For our one-year anniversary, which is going to be in January, not November, just because that's when we had our grand opening because of COVID and stuff, I've got a barley wine and some red wine barrels right now that's coming along.
Oh, you
pretty nicely. So
now you got Mike's attention.
Yeah.
So January, huh?
He's planning a trip already.
No, I don't like driving all those highways in the winter, but gotta find me a mule to bring back some.
I'll hold on to one for you guys.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
There you go.
Barley wines will keep.
Yeah, they will.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's cool. So you said earlier you guys got 10 taps in-house. Is that all your guys' beer? Do you keep like any guest taps on? And how many cores do you guys keep around?
Nope, that's all our beer.
Awesome.
Is it 10 plus the seltzer? Because we have the seltzer on tap. Then we have a couple nitro taps right now,
too. Ooh.
Those are empty. But yeah, just ours. We got four cores. We got a Pilsner, Pale Ale, IPA, and a Porter. Just kind of the four that we keep around year-round, or try to at least.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes not as much as I should, but we get them for the most part.
Uh-huh.
It's not the worst thing in the world if your beers are selling a little too fast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are bigger problems.
I was going to say, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, you don't want to be like, oh, crap, it didn't sell. I got to dump this keg.
That's right.
So what are your core beers then?
Pilsner Pale Ale, IPA, and Porter.
Oh, beauty.
And you mentioned seltzer.
Yeah, so that's. I think you guys have one of those, too.
Yeah.
We're cracking
her because you said seltzer.
Yeah. So you guys make your own seltzer. And tell us a little bit about that process.
It's like half the time I'm making beer, which is nice. I can bang out a couple in a day, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's just something for the non-beer drinkers, right?
Exactly. I mean,
it's been a struggle for breweries since day one.
Most breweries will have a cider. Most breweries have cider or wine or something like that available for the non-beer drinkers who might show up, right? So I always figured
to do it.
I think it's always best to do it in-house. Yeah, absolutely. If you can make your own cider or your own seltzer or whatever it might be, why not, right?
So the seltzer that we have been given is the Falcon Sweet Seltzer, which is fruited with cherry at 5.3%.
It's got a crazy color to it. It's like this really
beauty,
vibrant
pink, blush. It almost reminds me of like a rosé wine color in a sense.
Yeah, I find with ours, because for most of my beers I use RO water and then I mineral it up to whatever I want it to be. But for this, I just use tap water. I don't know if I should be saying that, but it gives it definitely a winey characteristic, I find.
It smells like wine.
I get a winey nose like that. Yeah. The cherry fruit comes off like it would on the wine.
Like a fruit wine kind of aroma. Yeah,
yeah, and I think I like it. I think there's mixed reviews on it, but I'm a fan. It just adds a little bit more depth of flavor, I find. If I use some cleaner water, it might be just a little more fruity, but it definitely adds something quite interesting. To it.
Yeah, it's like a mild cherry wine, really. It definitely has a winey note. It surprised the shit out of me.
It's got some sweetness to it as well.
Well, I'm not a seltzer fan. I don't like White Claws and all those fun boy drinks or whatever.
They have no flavor.
But they're just too, like, carbonized and stuff. This is, and I don't know, just maybe we've had it for a while, but the flavors are a lot more prominent than you do get in the like big name brand ones.
Yeah, it's a lot different. It's got a bit of a fermented flavor to it instead of just you know, being a bland, like watery with a little bit of flavor. Yeah. Right?
And I'm guessing this probably has a little more residual sugars than a lot of those big market seltzers that are basically zero sugar and zero flavor. And why am I drinking this? This actually has some flavor. It makes you want to actually have a glass of it.
I don't feel like
it. I don't think I would market this as a diet beverage by any means.
Do you know
probably lower calorie than beer. So.
Yeah, do you know what the calorie count is?
No, I don't.
Okay. Good for you. Thank you for not knowing that answer.
So is this a grain-based? Like, is this a beer-based seltzer? Or
how do you make this? It's corn sugar.
Corn sugar? Okay.
Cool.
So, okay. I was actually like excited when I saw this on your menu when I came in. I was with my mother-in-law. He's not a big beer fan, but she really wanted to come check you guys out because they had just got a place in Osoyoos. And I was a little bit shocked because although places like in the States and I think probably in other parts of Canada have been like quick to jump on the seltzer train, Vancouver's like been super, super slow
for sure. Yeah.
To hop on, and I don't really get it.
I don't know if I can agree with that completely.
Okay.
I think there's been a lot of small companies that have popped up over the last year or two that are making seltzers, so to speak. But what they're doing is they're buying grain alcohol and blending it with water and flavor and then canning it. Right? So you got companies like Wise and things like that have been popping up.
We're having a
neighbor driving by.
child vehicle driving by.
But you got these companies like Wise and that are popping up, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're blending alcohol and flavor and water and putting it in the can. I don't think we're seeing the breweries, the microbreweries, adopting it and doing it. But there are people doing it, right? And you look at, like, say, a big brewery like Red Racer. Mm-hmm. They're doing it.
Yeah.
Right,
but that's why I was excited when I came into North Basin to see. You know,
I don't think any small craft brewers have done it except for
because I thought, North Basin. Why wouldn't you take that on yourself? And I wonder if for some people it's a brand issue, but I'm kind of shocked because I think it's a good move as a business. And as someone like, I love beer, I also just like drinking things that taste good.
Yes,
this tastes good. Like,
it does taste good.
Providing an option for the non-beer drinkers it's paying not a middleman.
So I guess my question to have you had any pushback or have people been just I would hope they'd just be like stoked on another option.
Yeah, I think we're the only brewery in town, right? So it's not like there's a deep-rooted craft beer scene who demand a certain product. Like, people are just happy that we're here, and then
People just yelling German purity law.
Yeah, no,
1516.
No, not a lot of that. Yeah. I would definitely not pass that, as you guys have drank a rice beer and now a seltzer.
I'm not a big fan of that law anyways.
Yeah.
No,
but yeah, no, it's been good to just have that little extra something for people. And you know, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a few nights where I came down and had a couple seltzers just because I'm not maybe feeling beer that night or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes IPAs are too heavy. Just don't feel like anything malty. This is a good turnaround point. With that, man, I just noticed it said fruit. It says fruit on the side of the can, and you wrote in cherry. Sure. So do you guys use any other fruits? Like, do you vary it up all the time, or?
Yeah, so we just do seasonal fruits just because we have so many fruits around here. So I just
smart.
Go to whatever fruit stand and buy fruit and put it in. So the cherry one is now gone. You guys are drinking the last remnants of a bygone era, but the peach is now on tap.
Ooh, I knew you were going to say peach because it's that season. Nice. Well, yeah, this is way better than a White Claw. I think I said fun boy, but I meant it's a fuck boy drink. Yep. but yeah, this is definitely not one of those. It's more like refined. Like I said, it's not that.
It's like
carbonation bullshit. Like that's really overbrewed.
It's like a lighter, sweeter.
It's
fruit wine.
More like wine-ish. Yeah. It's well done, man. I know I think I could say for most of us, our ladies would like it. The ones that drink. Yeah, sure. I know my wife would probably really enjoy this.
Yeah,
that's good, and that's we want it for everybody, right? Everybody should have something to drink when they come for a brewery. That's what brought me into breweries was that they were so welcoming to everybody. And
yeah,
if you show up to a brewery and there's nothing for you to drink, you got to sip water while your beer nerd friends are crushing double IPAs.
Yeah,
and you're having a good time.
Or one of those sodas that are natural sugar made from somewhere.
I mean, and it's funny because I this does have a very winey note, but I don't like wine at all. But I actually really enjoy this. It reminds me of that like mild wininess that you can get from beers that have like a wine barrel age or something. It's not huge punchy in the face wine, but it definitely has that kind of background note.
I think it's the cherries that are giving it that as well. Maybe if it was the peach, it might be different, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had the cherries pre-fermentation too, so I think probably the cherry sugars fermenting might have contributed to that a little bit.
Okay,
that's quite interesting.
What's the peach one like? Is it similar or very different?
Yeah, it's like that, but it ended up fermenting a little more, so it's a little bit drier than the cherry one turned out.
Now you're getting my attention.
Drier,
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm more of a fan of the sweet ones, so.
Big fan of the seltzer.
I didn't think I'd like it this much, man.
I didn't know what to expect, and honestly, I think I like it. I was expecting it's gonna be seltzer. It'll be fizzy water, maybe have some flavor, whatever. But
I don't find it fizzy at all.
Different than what I was expecting, for sure.
No, it's just like it's like food, right? Like I think. We get hung up on stupid rules. Like it's good drinks should be like good food. Like this is a podcast about beer, but I don't know. I think we'd be big fat loser faces if we got all rulesy about it. It tastes good. And
sometimes you just want a double cheeseburger, man.
That's right. Yeah. Like you can't eat prime rib every night of the week or steak or like lobster dinner. You can't do it all the time. Sometimes you got to have a dirty cheeseburger. And not to say that's what this is, but like you got to change it up, right?
Yep.
Right.
That's a good beer name for me.
Dirty cheeseburger.
Yeah, I bet you those guys in
Dirty Cheeseburger Double IPA. No, they actually haven't. If it's not a movie reference, they haven't done it.
Yeah. What style of beer would a dirty cheeseburger be?
A double IPA. Oh,
yeah, it would be a huge DIPA for sure.
The Dirty Cheeseburger DIPA. Yeah. Come on now.
Out and out.
Hold on, I gotta write that down.
The Mustard Tiger DIPA.
It's gotta be the Dirty Double Cheeseburger.
Well, either way, you know what it is without even thinking.
Our third beer released was a double IPA. So when we were doing the floors, the floor guys set off the fire alarms because it was so dusty. And the floor guys' names are Daryl and Dustin. So we called it Daryl and Dustin's Dusty Double IPA.
Nice.
Beautiful.
That's a good reference.
So We have a buddy over here in Maple Ridge, and he's got a very small setup too. Runs it sort of the same way you guys do. He's Silver Valley Brewing.
Yep.
And I love going and talking to him about this time of year because he often has like the summer rush as well. He's got to be on top of production, making sure that there's beer for people to drink. And then he sort of gets to settle in and, or I should say, not just he, the team there, gets to settle in and sort of start producing, you know, like bigger beers that take longer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, space
working
is
towards
small.
Christmas now, so he's yeah. got going to be working on stouts.
Well, he's got a full time assistant brewer now, too. So I know.
Is that, do you guys have anything in the outlook? Are you guys hoping? I know you mentioned that barley wine, and I think that sort of fits right into similar plans. He might have, but you guys got any sort of plans where you can let things sit a little bit longer and do their thing?
I haven't really planned too far in advance yet. We're still so new, so I'm still just trying to play with what the town wants, things like that. But I got plans. I think I'm going to try. You see so many pumpkin beers around, so I'm going to try carrot cake beer,
That's interesting.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's good. And then with the seltzers, I might do like an apple cinnamon seltzer as well, because that comes in season, and then get some pear flavors in there too. So
yeah, some fall nice flavors.
Quality of it, and see what we can do to keep people happy.
I like it. Cool.
Well, it seems like you're doing a good job doing that right now, because I have nothing bad to say about it, either of these beers or the seltzer.
And I'm glad you'll have to come down and try all 10 or 12 or however many we'll have on tap.
Yeah. Point. Well, there's so many new breweries up in the Okanagan, and I haven't been up there for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years now. So I've got a trip due to me.
I think you're not allowed back.
It's going to be a long trip because I got a lot of breweries to go see now.
Well, I mean, I hadn't gone to the Okanagan for about 6 months because of COVID, and I went back up not that long ago, and there was already a couple new breweries that opened up, and there's one that's opened up since I was there already. So
yeah,
yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, especially in Kelowna, there's a whole neighborhood, and I think there's like 3 or 4 going in within a block of each other.
Oh, it's like the downtown Kelowna right now is crazy for breweries. Yeah,
plus you get the scooters.
Yes. Yes, I fucking did that. It blew my mind. I scooted all the way down.
The electric ones?
Yeah, we scooted all the way down. We had a place like, I don't know.
They got those on Brewers Row now, Carnell.
I know. It's,
they're everywhere.
I
want to
start a scooter gang. Scoot, man.
It's all good until you run out of juice.
Yeah.
We'll just get Pacific Beer Chat patches.
Yeah, no, we're going to get like Levi's jean jackets.
With the patch on the back of rockers.
Pacific Beer Chat at Scooter Club.
Yeah.
No, Scooter Gang. Scooter we want to be hard. We all have beards except Carnell.
Do my best. I've got as much facial hair as I could possibly have.
He's working on it.
Don't worry, man.
Can our logo be like a meowing cat? Like,
oh god!
Done in like the style of the tigers and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, oh dude,
like just like a kitten, Jerry, like,
but just a little pussy cat.
Exactly that. That would be amazing.
Man. All right, who do we know that does stitching?
Yeah, Scooter's a beer, man.
That's too funny.
That's hilarious.
Well, awesome. I guess as we're wrapping up here. I'm going to get into the little question of the night, unless you guys have any other questions.
Nope.
I think that's good, yeah.
All right. Well, at the end of the episode, I always ask everybody what's their favorite beer they've had of the night. So I'm going to start off with you there, Cody. What is your favorite out of the three we had, beers and seltzers?
I think I'm a pretty big fan of the Black IPA right now. The AJ, not AJ, is definitely my daytime sipper, but if it's later at night, I'll go for the Black IPA every time, I think.
Nice.
And actually, just before we go on to the next, is there a different beer that you produce that is your all-time favorite that we haven't had today?
One of the earlier ones I did was Burton Ale, so like a hoppy brown ale.
Oh, yeah,
that
one's
probably one of my favorites I've done here.
Very different style.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats to you.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan.
I could really dig into the water chemistry for that one because it's such a unique water profile over there. And that's one of the first things that came to my mind when we figured out we were going to get the RL. I was going to like,
Does that mean you're, do you read, is it Paul Brown, Three Sheets to the Wind?
Huh?
Okay. There's this beer writer from the UK, and he's from Burton.
Yeah.
And anyways, he's waxed poetic over several books. It's There's a couple of books. There's like Three Sheets to the Wind and like IPA Around the World and stuff. And he often talks about the Burton ales and especially the water content there.
Yeah, they have a very unique water chemistry there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of English beers in general, so that's interesting to hear you talking about a Burton ale, which is a crazy style that you never see.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to get with the water that they have there, but since we could build it up from nothing.
Yeah.
Really, I think, nail down what was the spirit of that style. And usually I'm not super traditional when it comes to the beers that I make, but that one I really wanted to try and get right. And I was pretty happy with how it turned out. So that'll probably be my favorite one to date.
Mike, which one was your favorite?
Give it to us.
I'm going to have to go with the Black IPA.
Yeah.
It's really, really tasty. It's really well done. And it's a style that isn't done enough. Mm. But this is an exceptional version of the style. But I will say, like, shout out to that seltzer, because I've only had one or two seltzers ever that I've enjoyed, because they always just seem to be flavorless, you know, flavorless carbonated water. And this has tons of flavor. It's really interesting. And I will definitely, when I stop by, try whatever seltzer you have on tap.
Interesting.
And I'm like, I usually just avoid the seltzers.
Who are you? All right, Warren, since you're next to him, what was your favorite of the night? I have an idea what you're going to say.
This is funny, because I'm pretty much perfectly aligned with Mike. That Black IPA was ridiculously good. That was heads and shoulders above the other two, in my opinion. But again, second place got to be the seltzer, because it was different and interesting and tasty.
Cornell, man, it's you. What do you got to say?
Well, I called my shot, much like Babe Ruth did, and I'd like to pretend that I am of a similar level of clout in whatever it might be. But yeah, the Black IPA, man, that thing fucking killed. I think that should restart the Cascadian Dark or Black IPA or whatever you want to call it. That should get other brewers' motors going, because when you give some thought to the body, as opposed to just the hoppiness and sort of like the colors or the dark fruit flavors, it brings it up to a whole new level, adds a lot of depth, makes it like a beer that's not just a punch in the mouth, but like something enjoyable to drink. And I say that because past CDAs always felt like a punch in the mouth, which was fun sometimes.
As a certified BJCP judge, I would recommend that you enter that in a contest, like a BC Beer Awards or a Canadian Beer Awards or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's high praise.
Okay, well, it must be high praise, because on this podcast, it never happens that all four of us pick the same beer as our favorite. But I'm also saying it's the Vineyard. What is it? The Vineyard Monster Black IPA. Everything they said is exactly how I feel. Well-rounded, balanced. You got so many flavors just perfectly working together. And like, honestly, I could come back for one or two more after having one. Like easily, right? Yeah. So that's the winner of the night for me. But like everybody else said, the seltzer too, man. Like, you kind of fucking blew my mind. Yeah. Like, I was thinking, oh fuck, seltzer. Like, what's this? And I mean, the cherries work. The flavor's on point. It's not that fizzy bubble shit you get in the big branded ones and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really well done, and it's something I could share with my wife or my mom or mother-in-law, you know, anybody really.
My male friends who don't like beer.
Yeah, I have a few of those too.
I don't have too many of those, just because I met most of my guy friends
through beer.
Yeah. I've converted a couple, but there's still one or two that's just like, oh, I only drink vodka drinks. It's like, okay, well, here, have this seltzer. Yeah. They'd be happy. But yeah, man, everything was really well done. And like I said, it's been in crawlers for what, like 3+ weeks, and everything's held really well and still tastes amazing. So, kudos, Cody. You're doing a great job up there, brother.
And as a lager hater, I've got to defend your lager too, because it's got a lot of flavor. It's not boring. It's not one-noted.
It almost reminded me more of a cream ale or something like that with the body and stuff. So, it's a little more than just a lager, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it, and I'm glad that the Crowlers held up. I'm going to get an extra hour of sleep tonight, probably. Thinking about everybody's Crowlers in the trunks of their car slowly degrading over time.
Yeah, no, could be worse. No. Could be a Growler.
Yeah, so, that's true.
What's the address of the brewery there?
Oh, jeez. Put me on the spot.
You can quickly look it up and then...
15 Park Place is the address of the hotel.
Good so enough. Next door.
There's got to be a piece of mail within arm's reach. Come on.
Actually, yeah, there probably is.
We can edit it.
Yeah, it's the only brewery in Osoyoos, and Osoyoos isn't big. I'm sure you can
it's
find
probably
it.
Probably in my email signature. I probably look at it every day.
So, Unit 226, 15 Park Place, Osoyoos, British Columbia.
It is 15 Park Place. Yeah. You just want Unit 226 if you're looking for the brewery.
And then
226. There we go.
Do you know the?
I got you, homie.
Do you know the social media accounts?
Yep. Because I just pulled up my email and it's on there. We're at North Basin Brewing Co. on Instagram.
Nice,
perfect.
And you can just search them on Facebook, North Basin Brewing. You'll find them instantly. It's give them a like for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, there's still a little bit of the nice weather left here. It's just transitioning into September right now. Especially in the Okanagan, it's going to be nice for a little bit longer. So if you're going for a holiday in the Okanagan, if you're going for a road trip, if you're heading either from Alberta this way or the other way, make sure you stop in if you're going on that route.
If you're going to get cherries or peaches from a stand, go there too. Come on.
Absolutely. Knock on the glass. Say hi to me.
Yeah. in your fish tank there?
Yeah. Do they have the fishbowl there? Nice.
Yeah, we got a little wind. Awesome. The big windows to outside so people can see me working or not working.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Not awkward at all, right?
No, it's the kids on the glass that are. Somebody's got to clean that, but.
Yuck.
Greasy face smudges.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Cody. Yeah. I'm really happy Carnell got up there and got a chat with you and set this up and that we all aligned. We got Robin to bring the beers down and all this came through. This is our first time sitting together on a Zoom call to share beers. So it worked out well. So cheers, buddy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Cody.
Thank you, guys. It was a lot of fun.
And, you know, thanks, technology, for not screwing up.
Yeah.
Didn't crash tonight. That's
don't speak
awesome.
Too soon, man.
At this point, we're doing pretty well.
While, so yeah. Oh, shit, it didn't record.
Oh, no, I've been double-checking every once in a while. It's recording.
All right, so we're looking forward to our next episode with you when we're there in person.
Perfect.
All right, well, cheers. Thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Cheers, Cody. Thanks, brother.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in. If you want to find us on social media, you can go to @PacificBeerChat. If you want to send us a message, you can send it to feedback@PacificBeerChat.com. Or if you want to set up a podcast with us, you can send one to Jordan@PacificBeerChat.com. And if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/PacificBeerChat. The money goes towards upgrading equipment and trying to make the show better. So shout out to our Patreon supporters, Steve and the Indie Beer Show.
Thanks, Luz.
Cheers. We out.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.